माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवाल गिरिवरधारी गौरनंदन व्रजजन गौरनंदन व्रजजन रंजन कमुन तीरावन चारी कमुन तीरावन चारी माधव कुंज बिहारी कैलाधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी गंगावाल गिरिवरधारी ISKCON founder Charya is the main gate for Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Shri Pad Brahma Saparaya Saparaya Ananta Koti Vaishnavam Sri Vrindavan ki jai, Sri Mayapur Navakishtam ki jai, Gangamayi Timanmayi ki jai, Samavikta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nithai Gaur Prinamam, all glories to Samasavadis, all glories to Samasavadis, all glories to Samasavadis, all glories to Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnandana Salakaya Chakshurum Nitandena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Vayam Pagadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samchinamani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharni Nirvasesham Vivadi Paschata Dishtarni Vanchikalpa Turbhasya Kripasin Vibhita Patitana Avani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chapter 19, first canto. Chapter is entitled Appearance of Sri Kadeva Goswami. Today we're reading text 9 and 10. Did we read both of them? We're all Parasharo gati sutotamu rama Parasharo gati sutotaramo
Parasharo
gati sutotaramo
Tat Indra Pramadi Samaho.
Vaho, Medititi, Devala, Arishtishena, Bharadvaj, Gautam, Tipalada, Maitreya, Orva, Kavasha, Kumbayoni, Vaipayana, and the great personality Narada. So the purport is to describe the great personality of something. There is purport, Chavana, a great sage and one of the sons of Bhrigumuni. He was born prematurely when his pregnant mother was kidnapped. Chavana is one of the six sons of his father. Chavana, right? It's mentioned in this name. Who is that?
Chavana. Mentioned in the ninth canto.
Sukanya, what was that?
Yes, Sukanya.
Sukanya? Poked the grass into an anthill where he was meditating within. And therefore they were married together. And she surrendered herself to the great sage to be relieved from the offense. He was the great son of Bhrigumuni, and mentioned in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Bhrigu, this is the... When Pramaji was performing a great sacrifice on behalf of Varuna, Maharshi Bhrigu was born from the sacrificial fire. He was a great sage, and his very dear wife was Suloma. He could travel in space like Durvasa, Narada, and others, and he used to visit all the planets of the universe. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, he tried to stop the battle. Sometimes he instructed Bharadvaj Muni about astronomical evaluation, and he is the author of the great Bhrigu Samhita, the great astrological calculation.
He explains how air, fire, water, and earth are generated from ether. He explains how the air in the stomach works and regulates the intestines. As a great philosopher, he logically established the eternity of the living entity, Mahabharata. He was also a great anthropologist, and the theory of evolution was long ago explained by him. He was a scientific propounder of the four divisions and orders of human society known as the Varnashram Institution. He converted the Kshatriya king Vitahavya into a Brahmin. So there's a big description of Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni is famous, not mentioned here in this particular place, but Bhrigu Muni is quite well known for having kicked the chest of Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. There was a great meeting, another great meeting. Here we have a great meeting of sages from all over the universe. So we have to take the information from the scripture. Modern science, they say there's no life on other planets, but here we see that personalities, great personalities, are coming from all over the universe to attend the disappearance, like a festival, Parikshit Maharaj, being instructed. So, anyway, this Bhrigu Muni, he was attending one other conference of great sages. They were performing sacrifice, and there was some kind of discussion. Who is the supreme? They, at that time, they had some debate. This is the mention in the Mahabharata, Nasavrishir Yasya Matam Dibinam, that unless one has got some difference of opinion, he can't be considered a rishi. Asav Rishi, yes, matam. Matam means opinion or understanding. Nabinam, he's not different, then he can't be considered as a great sage. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness. The Srila Prabhupada wanted the ISKCON movement, unity and diversity. It's not that, just like here, great sages are coming. They have different, we can understand from the statement of Mahabharata that they all have different kinds of philosophies. They propounded different kinds of philosophies, but here they're meeting together very nicely without big fight or anything or banning. So they have, oh, is that on? I'll try for it. I can try to talk better into the microphone. Okay. So Asabrishir Yeshabit Matamibina. So they had some difference in opinion that Shiva is superior, supreme. No, Brahma is supreme. No, Vishnu is supreme. So they had a little bit debate on this subject. And that was another thing. Srila Prabhupada said that previously, when there was debate, if one person was defeated by the other, then they would surrender. They would become a disciple of that person. They would take his instructions and accept him as their guru. So that's not the case now in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. No one wants to submit themselves to another person. So when they were debating this, they thought that they would elect this Bhrigu. They decided to elect this Bhrigu Muni. He was a great personality, son of Lord Brahma. So they told him that why don't you go out and find out who is the supreme amongst these personalities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So that whole pastime is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, given in Chaitanya Bhagavat, So the Vrindavan Das Thakur is concluded at the pastime. Very end, the ninth chapter. Just one more chapter is there. Here it says actually, characteristics of a perfect Vaishnava are most extraordinary. Just see yourself the example given in the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse it says, Vaishnava Pradhan Brigu, Brahmaranandan, Aharanishan Mane Bhave Yahara Charan. Brigu Muni, the great Vaishnava son of Brahma, thinks day and night about the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Se Prabhura Bhakshe Karilena Gadagata Padagata Tatapi Vaishnava Shrishta Dekaha Shakta. Although Brigu kicked the Lord Vishnu in the chest, he is nevertheless accepted as the topmost Vaishnava. So that's described that first Lord, this Brigu Muni, he went to see Lord Brahma, his father. And although Brahma was his father, that time thinks, proper etiquette is there still, that one, a son should offer his respects to his father when he comes before him. This is the scriptural injunctions like that. So when he didn't offer his respects to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma became very agitated. And Brigu Muni first went to the assembly of Brahma and proudly stood before him. Brahma became greatly pleased on seeing his son, and he inquired about Brigu's welfare, because Brigu wanted to test whether Brahma had the quality of goodness. He did not listen attentively to his father. He neither offered prayers nor respectful obeisances to his father. He neglected whatever etiquette the son is expected to show his father. Seeing the disrespectful behavior of his son, Brahma became very angry and appeared like the incarnation of Agni. When Brigu saw his father's angry mood, he ran away in fear that he would be cursed and turned to ashes. Everyone present there held the feet of Brahma and pacified him, saying, please don't be so cruel to your son. So out of affection for his son, Brahma then controlled his anger as fire is extinguished with water. Mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the fire produces water. The universal affairs that the elements, one is produced after another, from subtle to gross. So in this way, it's described, he controls his anger just as fire is extinguished by water. So his passion. So after testing Brahma, Brigu Muni went directly to Kailas to test Shiva. When Shiva saw Brigu Muni, he became happy. He and Parvati stood up with due respect. Displaying the etiquette of an elder brother, the three-eyed Shiva personally rose to embrace Brigu with affection. But Brigu Muni said, my dear Mahesh, please do not touch me. You wear all the symbols of an atheist. You always keep Bhutas, Pretas, Pisachas, and other untouchable atheists around you. Your behavior is full of contradictions. What scripture says that one can decorate his body with bones and ashes? If you touch me, I will have to bathe. Therefore, O Lord of the Bhutas, please stay away from me. Brigu Muni spoke like this to test Shiva. Otherwise, he would never criticize Shiva. It's interesting. This was chronological. Because Brigu Muni had big he took the side of the Daksha at the Daksha Yajna. So I don't know if this was took place before or after the Daksha Yajna. So when the three-eyed Shiva heard Brigu's insulting words, he became angry and at once picked up his trident. Shankara forgot all the respect an elder brother generally gives to his brother and he assumed his form as the annihilator. As Shiva took up his trident to kill Brigham Muni, Parvati quickly came and caught hold of Shiva's hand. She then grabbed Shiva's feet and said, "Oh Lord, should an older brother become so angry?" On hearing Parvati's words, Shankara became embarrassed. Bhrigu then went on to Vaikuntha, the abode of Krishna. The Lord was lying on a jeweled bed, and Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was engaged in massaging his lotus feet. At that time, Bhrigu Muni came there and unnoticed and kicked the Lord's chest with his foot. On seeing Bhrigu Muni, the Lord immediately got up from his bed and affectionately offered his obeisances to the Brahmin. Then the Lord, along with Lakshmi, joyfully washed Bhrigu Muni's feet. After offering Bhrigu an excellent sitting place, the Lord personally smeared sandalwood pulp on Bhrigu's body. The Lord then begged forgiveness from Bhrigu as if he had committed an offense. "I have committed an offense because I was unaware of your arrival and did not receive you properly. I beg you to pardon me. This water that was used to wash your feet is so pure it can sanctify the places of pilgrimage. All the Brahmandas situated within my body, as well as the rulers of all the planets, all of us have been purified today by this water that has washed your feet. Therefore, let your characteristics remain imperishable. I will gladly keep the mark and dust of your footprint on my chest. I will keep the mark of your footprint on my chest along with Lakshmi, whose residence on my chest is glorified by the Vedas as the mark of Sri Bhakta." Hearing the Lord's words and seeing his humble behavior, Bhrigu Muni concluded that Lord Vishnu was certainly beyond the influence of lust, anger, greed, and illusion. Bhrigu Muni was struck with wonder and he lowered his head in shame. Whatever Bhrigu Muni did was not on his account. Rather, he acted on the inspiration of providence. So there's a purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that just like Shankaracharya, he preached the philosophy of Mayavad that was on the order of the Supreme Lord. So Bhrigu Muni, he was directly directed by the Supreme Lord as an instrument. He performed this pastime. And therefore, he's not to be faulted. We had some question on Saturday. We were wondering, all these great sages, they came from different parts of the universe. They're not exactly accepted. They're not glorified as great devotees, most of these personalities, except like Narada and Vyasadeva, of course. But we found some evidence that because they came to the bank of the Ganges to hear, they came to see Parikshit Maharaj's departure from the world, and Shukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam at that time. So at Srimad Bhagavatam we understand the ripened fruits of Vedic literature. Shukadeva Goswami became perfect by the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing it. So what about all these other sages? So there was found some kind of evidence that mentioned this Bhrigu later on. He was a witness to some of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly as mentioned how he witnessed the deliverance of Jagai and Madai. And after the deliverance of Jagai and Madai, when there were so many demigods, they were watching this pastime from the sky. Included amongst them was Jamaraj. Jamaraj was there with his secretary Chitragupta. And this Jamaraj, he was aware that this Jagai and Madai were quite sinful, but he didn't know exactly. He made some inquiries from his secretary, Chitragupta. He said, how much sinful these two were? And Chitragupta, he said, "No, you don't want to ask that question. These people, these Jagai and Madai, they were so sinful. There's no, we have thousands of scribes. They're recording since many, many years, they have a whole mountain of records on their sinful activities. And this way he went on and on describing how many sinful activities there are there that they can't be described for many, many years. Can't be described how sinful they are. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered them just like that. So mercifully he delivered this Jagai Madai. And that was seen by all these demigods. So when Yamaraj was hearing this Chitragupta describing how sinful they are and seeing how they became delivered just immediately by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Yamaraj became completely overcome by emotion. He's one of the Mahajans after all, the great devotee of the Lord, celebrated at that. So he became so filled with that ecstasy, he fell down in the chariot unconscious. And all the demigods, they saw that this Yamaraj's chariot was not moving anymore. They went there, looked inside, and saw that Yamaraj was lying there unconscious practically, appeared to be dead. So Lord Brahma and Narad Muni, they could understand that this Yamaraj was actually fell unconscious in ecstasy. They began to chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya in his ear, and Yamaraj regained his consciousness and started dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And all the demigods, they also joined in chanting the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and dancing in ecstasy. And it's also mentioned at that time that Bhrigu Muni was there dancing in that kirtan. So we can see that they got some fruit from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at this time. So then it's described here also Vishishta appeared there. And it says, see Srimad Bhagavatam 196. So we'll read that description of Vishishta Muni. Vishishta. He is the great celebrated sage amongst the Brahmanas, well known as Brahmarshi Vishishtadeva. He is a prominent figure. This is from the 9th chapter. He is a prominent figure in both the Ramayana and Mahabharata periods. He celebrated the coronation ceremony of the personality of Godhead Sri Ram. He was present also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He could approach all the higher and lower planets, and his name is also connected with the history of Hiranyakasipu. There was a great tension between him and Vishwamitra, who wanted his Kamadhenu wish-fulfilling cow. Vishishtamuni refused to spare his Kamadhenu, and for this Vishwamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmana, he tolerated all the taunts of Vishwamitra. Once he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishwamitra's torture, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, but the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton, and thus he was saved. He jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into a river, but the river also washed him ashore. Thus all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful. He is also one of the seven rishis and husband of Arundhati, the famous star. Next is Parashar. Parashar is the grandson of Vishishtamuni and father of Vyasadeva. He is the son of Maharshi Shakti. So Vishishtamuni was the grandfather of Parashar. Parashar is the father of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the father of Shukadeva's son. So we have a whole dynasty is there mentioned. So he is the son of Maharshi Shakti, and his mother's name was Adrishati. He was in the womb of his mother when she was only 12 years old, and from within the womb of his mother, he learned the Vedas. His father was killed by a demon, Kalmashapad, and to avenge this, he wanted to annihilate the whole world. He was restrained, however, by his grandfather, Vasishtha. He then performed a Rakshasa killing yajna, but Maharshi Pulastya restrained him. He begot Vyasadeva, being attracted by Satyavati, who was to become the wife of Maharaj Santanu. By the blessings of Parashara, Satyavati became fragrant for Maya. He was present also during the time of Bhishma's death. He was spiritual master of Maharaj Janaka and a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He is the author of many Vedic scriptures and sociological directions. They have the 20 Dharma Shastras, just like most famous, you know, everyone is familiar with Manu Samhita. But there's also 19 other sages like that have written on these, just like the Manu Samhita. They've given the law books of mankind, particularly Manu Samhita is considered the law book of mankind. But here it's mentioned that Parashar also wrote many Vedic scriptures. He was also, along with Bhrigu. Bhrigu is mentioned as the author of the great Bhrigu Samhita. Bhrigu Samhita, many are, or perhaps most of us are familiar, that he gives very nice description of one's previous lives. There was some curse that the prediction of the future is not so accurate, but the prediction of one's past lives can be found in the Bhrigu Samhita. And there's still places, I think first place where they had, there's three places I think that I know in India where this Bhrigu Samhita is still being, that you can still go and get your Bhrigu Samhita reading like that. And Varanasi, and then there's one place in Punjab, Hoshiarpur. Actually, I went to that one place, Hoshiarpur. When we went there, one lady, I forget who her name, I think Nalini Kanta also goes there.
Sneha.
Her name is Sneha. Yes, she was there. So I went with a couple other devotees. She didn't exactly find our reading at that time, but she gave some. They have in astrology, there's different types of readings. There's also one called Prashna. Prashna is a particular moment when you ask a question or when you arrive someplace, you can calculate from that time. You can calculate so many things. So see, they did a reading on that particular time and told us that they would look for our charts. I couldn't find, I guess. But, so fortunate, yes. But Parashar, he also wrote some things on this astrology. And, Aja?
President of Boston, right?
I don't know if it was that one. I think he came from the Northwest. Maybe another one. I think that was one. Scandinavian. I went with him. So then it goes on, Gadi Sutta, or Vishwamitra. He is a great sage of austerity and mystic power. He is famous as Gadi Sutta because his father was Gadi, a powerful king of the province of Kanyakuja, a part of Uttar Pradesh. Kanyakuja, now it's called Kanauj. Kanauj is very famous for their attar, the scented oil. And that was also the place where Ajamil was from. Although he was a Kshatriya by birth, he became a Brahmin in the very same body by the power of his spiritual achievements. He picked a quarrel with, this is also mentioned that that Bhrigu Muni, he converted the Kshatriya king Vitahavya into a Brahmin. So these examples are given from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his essay, this Brahman Vaishnav, Brahmano Vaishnav, on the difference between Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And he uses this to prove that this understanding that one is a caste, which caste one belongs to, is according to birth, is false. Because these personalities here, Vitahavya, he was converted into a Brahmin by Bhrigu, and this Vishwamitra, he became a Brahmin by his great austerities. So this is the verdict given by Srila Narad Muni, 7th canto, yasya yalakshana proktam pumso arnavi vyandikam. What? Yata anyatrapi yatrusheta tateneva vinirdisha. That one is ascertained according to his qualities, not by birth. So these persons, there's also Rishabdev. Rishabdev had 100 sons, and there were amongst them, Rishabdev was coming in the Kshatriya dynasty, but some of those sons became great sages. I think amongst them was the Nabi members, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. The chart confirms. So, he picked a quarrel with Vishishta Muni, this is Vishwamitra again, when he was a Kshatriya king. He performed a great sacrifice in cooperation with Maganga Muni, and thus was able to vanquish the sons of Vishishta. He became a great yogi, and yet he failed to check his senses, and thus was obliged to become father of Shakuntala, the beauty queen of world history. Very famous story. Srila Prabhupada quotes many times. Kalidas was, I guess he's surpasses Cleopatra. In modern day, this is a Kali Yuga. Shakuntala was the Cleopatra was the celebrated beauty. So that was the Menaka. Menaka came there to disturb his meditation. This Vishwamitra Muni was sitting in meditation, and Menaka came, and by her ankle bells, this Vishwamitra was disturbed his meditation and came to gave birth, became the father of Shakuntala. Srila Prabhupada many times quotes this instance, how the yogis are not so adept at controlling their senses as the devotees who are engaged their senses in the service of the Lord. Once when he was a Kshatriya king, he visited the hermitage of Vishishta Muni, and he was given a royal reception. Vishwamitra wanted from Vishishta a cow named Nandini, and the Muni refused to deliver. That was the how he was given a royal reception, that Vishishta Muni was an ascetic living in the forest. He had no facilities, practically, how to give reception to a big king, Vishwamitra, and his entourage. But he had this cow, Nandini, who's a Kamadenu, wish-fulfilling cow. And this way, Vishishta Muni, through the potency of this cow, gave very wonderful reception to Vishwamitra and his entourage. Then when Vishwamitra asked for the cow in charity, Vishishta refused him. So Vishwamitra stole the cow, and thus there was a quarrel between the sage and the king. Vishwamitra was defeated by the spiritual strength of Vasishtha, and thus the king decided to become a Brahmin. Before becoming a Brahmin, he underwent severe austerity on the bank of the Koshi. He was also one who tried to stop the Kurukshetra war. So that whole description is there. He also described how he practically, he, by his mystic potencies, after becoming a Brahmin, he created practically a planet. It was a Trishanku, was cursed to become a Chandala, wasn't it? And he, and this Vishvamitra, he elevated him to the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets, they refused to accept him. And they threw him down from the heavenly planets. The Vishvamitra stopped his descent. And there was some kind of struggle whether he was going up or down. And the Vishvamitra set him up there on the planet.
Still hanging in there, yeah.
Huh?
I think he's still hanging in
there. He's still hanging. Wasn't he hanging upside down?
Yeah. I think
it's because he was falling down from the heavenly planets anyway. We don't know how it happened to him. So then there's one more stage. I think we're supposed to stop before Parshuram or something.
I don't know.
So we have one more, Angira. He was one of the six mental sons of Brahma and the father of Brihaspati, the great learned priest of the demigods in the heavenly planets. He was born of the semen of Brahmaji, given to a cinder of fire. Uttatya and Sambarta are his sons. It is said that he is still performing austerity and chanting the holy name of the Lord at a place known as Alokananda on the banks of the Ganges. Alokananda is north from Rishikesh, upstream. So this Angira, he's also one of the, he gave this Chitraketu the benediction of having a son, Arshashoka, who we mentioned that we heard of something of last night in the class, and we heard something also from Pushkar because he was relating the story of Arshashoka to someone. This Chitraketu, he was not destined to have a son, but this Angira, he gave him blessing that you can have a son, you'll have a son, Harsha, but he'll be also the Shoka, he'll be the source of happiness and distress. So this Harsha Shoka, the whole story is there in the sixth canto, how Chitraketu was very happy to have a son, but the son died very prematurely, born. Died shortly after. He was actually poisoned by his, what's he called, stepmother? Co-wife. Who was the mother's name? So. Huh? Krita Jyoti, yes. So the son, co-wives of Krita Jyoti, they poisoned the son because they were jealous that this one wife had the son who was the source of great joy for the Chitraketu. In fact, he became completely intoxicated by this son, enamored. So, what else? Oh, Angira, this Jadbarat came in the dynasty of Angira. Jadbarat was, of course, the after Bharat became attached to the deer. He took birth first as a deer and then as the great sage, Jadbarat. So he was the coming in the dynasty of Angira. Sometimes it says that Angira was amongst the sages who were performing sacrifice when Krishna sent his cowherd boys to beg some foodstuffs from the Brahmins in Mathura. So these great sages, they're all great personalities in this universe. This universe is not vacant, as the modern scientists will try to tell us. How can it be vacant? There's no place vacant in this whole world. You see that there's so many places that are there. They've actually found some life forms at the bottom of the ocean where the pressure is so great, intense, and where there's some volcanic fissure there where the temperature is so hot, but still they find living entities there in under the ground, in the air, in the water. You cannot live. So there are different personalities. It's like here, Brigham Muni was theory of evolution was explained by him. Asatim Chatra Saiva Bhachan Khan Vajatishu. Srila Prabhupada mentions one verse in the footnote to the second canto. How about these? Asurim Chatras Chaiva Lakshan San Jiva Jatishu. That the living entities, they take birth amongst the 84 species, 84,000 species of life. What is that? 840,000? 8,400,000 species of life. That's also described as that. Navajal, Navalakshani, Savaralakshavinshati. All are described in the Vedic literature. So this is not something that, of course, Darwin, Srila Prabhupada credits him with finding this from the Vedic literature, the theory of evolution. But he's got things a little bit mixed up because evolution is the evolution of the soul, not of the body. The bodies of the living entities. The living entity goes from this describes how he goes from plant life to insect to fish. Well, fish is before the plant, I think, lower species of life. So all these things are described in the Vedic literature, and these great personalities are mentioned so many times in the Puranas, the histories. Puranas means the history of the universe.
Bhagavad Gita.
These are accepted as the Vedic literatures. And actually, Jiva Goswami says these Puranas are more important than the Vedas in the Kisei Kali. So, all these great personalities came to get the association of the devotee. Devotee is Muktanam Apiksidanam Narayana Parasarve. Narayana Parayana. Sudurlaba Prashantatma.
Bodhisattva
Maham. Very rare to get the association of pure devotees. So these personalities from throughout the universe came to get that association. Maharaj Shukadeva Goswami. Somehow or other, we've been fortunate without even any attempt on our own. We didn't travel any far distance, but somehow or other, that the mercy of the pure devotee has been bestowed on us. We've been given that association. Srila Prabhupada's association is there. You can read his books, get that association. Srila Prabhupada told us many times that the more important than the Vapu is the Vani. So we still have that Vani of the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada in his books. We may not have, Vapu is not maybe present now, but Vani which is relatively more important, is there in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada's given us these wonderful purports, and his devotees that can give us the relate to us this importance of this association of the pure devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Kai. That we can give all perfection if we simply take that opportunity, take advantage of that opportunity. So we'll stop there. Someone has some comments.
I had a question about the Brihad Samhita.
Yes.
It's just, you maybe, I don't know if you would know about it, but you said it's in three different places, so is that the same?
Oh, yes, Hoshiarpur, Varanasi. Oh. I think Varanasi was the first one. Varanasi Dasi and Navadvip went to Varanasi and got their Brihad reading.
I mean, is it, when you say Brihad Samhita, it's like...
What's that?
When you say Brihad Samhita, is that like the same scripture? In each place, like they all have the same.
Oh, is it the same scripture in each place? That I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and did
they? I think I would surmise that they've been the persons have been given. Like, I was just going to look at the fourth chapter, because I think Angira is mentioned in the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where. Vyasadev divides the one Veda into four. He gives different portions to each of the different sages. One of them is Sangira. So perhaps it's like that with the Brihad Samhita, that they're given to different personalities than that line. That's just some...
So like the place that you went to, they didn't have it. They didn't have it.
Everything is written on little cards like that, so they can't find it. It's not digitalized, so they can find it immediately. I can Palm, or maybe originally Palm Leaf. I think she showed some papers up there.
Yeah,
very old.
She came here,
Samantha. Huh?
She came here and then she
did. Oh, yes, yeah, she did. Yeah, she came here, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we gave her Malika like so many years ago, and then she found out.
Oh, she found yours. Oh.
Yeah. And then
so, Laura, you're in the last life.
Well,
you don't know.
No, it's very, I can tell you, it was very interesting. She, it was the first thing she said.
Oh, here it is.
The first thing she said to me was that she was reading from the thing, you know, from a paper, whatever was written, and she said, "You'll be coming to see me with your husband." And his name starts with, you know, they don't give you the name,
yeah.
They just say the letter, Sa, you know, so he said, "You're becoming and seeing me with him." And then he said, "And you have been married to him for three lifetimes before, this is your fourth life."
Oh.
And previously you were living in your last life, you were living in Uttar Pradesh area.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it's like all things she mentioned, like you were born in the cities, starting with B, which is true, I was born in Washington, D.C., and then she said, "You will have, you know, like that." So she, and you have performed a lot of pious activities in your past life, and you will have trouble because of this. And but it was pretty far out, because it's not astrology, it's just things that are written down. So it's like.
You were very impressed.
Yeah, I was just very, very impressed. Yeah, definitely very impressed by what they were saying. But I had a question. Or comment, or like to hear from you. Here we're hearing about Vasishtha Muni and Vishwamitra Muni, and their problems were so extreme that Vasishtha tried to commit suicide so many times. And he does, Vishwamitra Muni does become a Brahmana. And I find it's pretty amazing Krishna's viewpoint on how Krishna sees things, because Vasishtha was spiritual master or the guru for Dashrath, And then Vishwamitra Muni also was the guru for Ram and Lakshman, and he got the credit, so to speak, to take them and took them for, Jagya, which Mother Sita got married. And so I find it is pretty amazing that how they have such strong, like, animosity or whatever, thought maybe you have some comment on that.
Difference of opinions, yes. We see that going on today. There's difference of opinions amongst the devotees of this guy.
Yeah.
Very strong sometimes. And one has to tolerate such things. One has to understand that. Srila Prabhupada, we were talking the other day, this famous letter to Purandara, that Srila Prabhupada formed this ISKCON society to create peaceful people with independent thought, thoughtful attitude. I forget now, just now the exact words slip me. But one has to become thoughtful and learn how to apply Krishna consciousness in his daily life according to time, place, and circumstance. It's not that sometimes is described like a cookie cutter. We don't want to become all like the same cookie cutter, just like coming from one mold. Everyone has to be the same and have the same ideas.
I think we have a problem with that.
Huh?
I don't think we have a problem with that.
No, it's not possible, actually, because it's not possible, because everyone is an individual person. Not, this is the first thing, Bhagavad Gita, no? No, tu eva ham, jatu na sham, na tum. Yeah, question. Prabhu? So, everyone is an individual person. Yeah, you can't say, I can't deny that. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that spiritual life is not stagnant. There's all varieties.
I was just wondering if these great sages that are in the Himalayas, they come down at Kumbh Mela.
Sorry?
Do
the sages come down at Kumbh Mela? Yes, we had the opportunity attending. There's four different Kumbh Melas. The Hardwar, Hardwar, Allahabad, Nasik, and Ujjain. We had opportunity to attend all four. But we weren't introduced to any of these great sages, so they didn't come. But we did hear there was one person, one devotee was there that, I think it was in Hardwar, he was taking bath in the Ganga. I think he was swimming, actually. He was swimming out to some, I can tell this story at least, that he was swimming out in the Ganga and to some, what he thought was some rock, and they some persons on the bank said, no, don't bother them. And he said that the sage meditating in the water like that. His top of his head was sticking out of the water. Anyway, we had some type of opportunity to see some of these persons. One time at Allahabad, we had some Audrey Dharan Prabhu had gotten some donations, some life members in Calcutta to give Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita to the different, they call Mahants, the different leaders of all the different months that were there. So we were going around giving up Bhagavad Gita to some of these personalities. We had opportunity to meet this Acharya Prabhakar, who was Srila Prabhupada's disciple from the time when he was in Jhansi. And, sometimes we had one opportunity was there when we were at nighttime. I remember also one personality came up while we were sitting around a big the 55-gallon drums with some fire in it, because it's cold like this at that time in Allahabad. And he started coming up, he came up and started speaking some Sanskrit to us, and I had just enough understanding to understand that he was speaking Sanskrit, and a few words were there. And yeah, the great personalities are there, there's no doubt, but these personalities there, the greater of the greats, I think they don't come perhaps to all the Kumbh Melas, but sometimes they may have. Who can understand? Srila Prabhupada said sometimes that Narad Muni and some of the demigods were came to his programs to hear his kirtans, and the demigods were laughing, seeing the Malechas chanting and dancing the holy names of the Lord. We can't, such things, I don't know how, but generally in Kali Yuga it's described that the demigods don't generally come to this planet, but it may happen. Somebody else has some realization. All right. Anything else? Huh?